I feel like I can tell a lot just from seeing somebody back squat. And a lot of times fixing how somebody back squats automatically improves their snatch and their clean and jerk just from something like that. And that is, that's getting more strength. But to me, that strength is a technique.
I didn't high five Sean.
So he's going to knock me out. You don't want to high five. His hands are huge. They'll just make
are they? Feel,
yeah. You don't want to do that. I never felt more boyish noticed. Than the other day. I was like, wait a minute. How big are your hands? And we went like that. And I was like, oh. Maybe that could be the picture for Thunder and Lightning.
Hand over mine. There you go. All right. We are back at Team BSS Fitness. It's a special two-parter, essentially. We had Sean Schumacher last week.
Last week.
A couple minutes ago, yeah. We are here with Mike Serbus.
Yes.
Not Mike Serbus.
Good pronunciation.
Yeah, I just practiced before we started taping. Not the three-headed underworld, right?
Yeah, that's right. Three-headed dog from the underworld. Not that.
Yeah. we're going to get into some Olympic weightlifting in a little bit.
That's my favorite.
That's your favorite, yeah. But before we get into that, make sure you check out chartperformance.com. I actually forgot to do this with Sean to do our intro. So I'm going to take more time. Yeah. Chartperformance.com, sign up for our newsletter. You don't want to miss cool giveaways from Rogue Fitness, Watt Nation, our affiliates and partners. So get on that. You might get some cool stuff that might help you with your Olympic weightlifting,
absolutely,
powerlifting, and strongman endeavors. So get on that right now, or the Cerberus, Michael sent Cerberus out again.
Hunt you down and make you sign up for it.
You are an international competitor. Are you officially retired?
I'm officially retired.
Okay, you're officially retired from competing.
It was retirement in limbo for maybe a year or so. But yeah, this will be like 2 full years of being retired. And retired. I'm a full-time teacher now.
Okay, so that's awesome. You competed for over 10 years?
Yeah. My first national championships was in 2005. My first American Open championship was in 2004.
Okay.
And then my last competition was the 2014 U.S. Nationals.
Okay.
So I competed at like 10 consecutive American Opens, and I think like 8 out of 10 national championships.
Perfect.
Like two injuries in there, I think.
That sounds a lot better than what I was going to say.
There we go. so
perfect. You're a coach at Team Power Monkey?
Yeah. I'm one of the lead weightlifting coaches at Power Monkey Camp, and then there's a collective group of about 4 of us at Team Power Monkey that kind of all have pieces and cogs within the organization. Okay. So like I'm specifically the director of our clinics, domestic and international.
Okay,
so
we'll get into Power Monkey before we close out.
Sounds good.
It is the coolest camp.
From what I've seen, it's the coolest fitness camp in the world. But we can we've got plenty of exposure there. So yeah. We've got other topics we can get onto.
Perfect. Do your handsome looks ever get in the way of you coaching or teaching?
Yeah, see, I don't think so, but okay. I think it's very subjective. I'm sure, you know, it's all in the eye of the beholder. Maybe some people find me attractive and some not so much. But there is a running joke at one of my gyms. They call me the handsome angel.
Okay.
And I think their whole goal is just to get me to like blush or get embarrassed. But I accept all attention, good or bad. It's all fun. I always say it's like I'm 4'7" and you know, look like a little boy. So I don't think it's any big deal.
All right, very cool. Thank you for rolling with that joke.
Yeah. No, it's good stuff. I get teased all the time. Sean says they call me here the gym metro. So I'm always smell nice and I always try to have my hair done and stuff. But if you're hovering over people all day long and teaching them, I think it's nice to have good breath and good hygiene.
Appearances go a long way.
Yeah, things like that. So
Sean doesn't have him as much.
Yeah, well, no, he's just masculine. You just feel stronger standing by Sean. So
speaking of which, who's stronger, you or Sean?
Ooh, well, I'm going to have to, you know, I always wanted to think like pound for pound when I met Sean. I'm like, you know what? He's just big and strong, but like, I'm little and strong, so I'm more pound for pound. But I think when he actually like finishes his 800 pound deadlift, since he did like 9/10 of it, I think I'll give him the ultimate crown, because he's going to be like plus 3 times body weight on the deadlift. Gotcha. And I've done a 3 times body weight back squat. So maybe we're kind of somewhat peer level in that we're both, I think, pretty elite for our body weights with squat and deadlift.
Okay.
And then, as we like to joke, we're pretty sub-elite in the bench press category. So we both, I think, made a pact this year that we're going to bench press a little bit more and try and get that up there to respectable status.
Very cool. What have you learned from each other?
I think one of the cool things that I've learned from Sean and maybe him from me as well is we both started to get a lot more involved in CrossFit together. So the benefit of cross training and being like a little more open-minded with trying different things, doing new things, not being stuck in our old patterns. Mm-hmm. So like from a weightlifting background, it's real easy to just snatch, clean and jerk, front squat. Yeah. And that's, you know, the holy trinity of weightlifting. And same thing coming from, you know, bodybuilding, a lot of hypotrophy and all of that, or strongman and powerlifting, just, you know, deadlift, bench and squat. we both, when we started playing around, I guess, with CrossFit, saw things go up, saw ourselves feeling a little bit better. So, you know, CrossFit wasn't really reinventing the wheel. It was just taking cross training and adding some intensity to it. But I would say, I've just learned how to approach things from different angles.
Okay.
I mean, that's kind of a vague way to say something, but, you know, how to improve my deadlift by not deadlifting, mm-hmm. or how to make my body just feel better by mixing up exercises. Like, you know, Sean was talking with you about, you know, maybe he'll come in just to work his back. And when I say I'm going to work my back, I would never think pull-ups and barbell rows, mm-hmm. and things like that. And to him, that's a back day. So like, maybe if I'm feeling like I have a deficiency, or now that I'm a coach, I have a lot more tools to use with athletes, because of a lot of the diversity that maybe I've learned from Sean and some of his background.
Okay, very cool. How did you get – take us back.
All right. Rewind it. We're going to do a lot of rewinding.
Yeah, that's all good. How did you get into Olympic weightlifting in the first place?
So I tell everybody, like, pre-CrossFit. There's like pre-CrossFit weightlifting, and then there's weightlifting now. So I started when I was 12 years old.
Okay, so you started fairly young.
Yeah, so
– Even in the States.
By international standards, I started when I should have,
okay.
I guess would be a good way. So I'm 30 years old now. So it was 18 years ago. So that was what, like 99, like 98, yeah. 98, okay. 99. I had a cousin, who was a national class weightlifter. So I just got lucky. Like he did it. I thought he was cool. I thought it was cool. So I started going to the club gym that he was a member at, and, he pretty much exposed me to it. And then, the coach that he had, we were both really fortunate. He was a principal at the school district that my mother graduated from, my aunts and uncles all graduated from. Then I ended up graduating from. His name's Lou DeMarco, and he's like a godfather of weightlifting. Like he was a national competitor in the 60s and the 70s, and then in the 80s he was a U.S. junior team coach. So he would go coach junior worlds, world universities. He was on the 96 Olympic committee in Atlanta. He was in charge of a lot of the the setup for the weightlifting portion of that, and then he was on the USA board of directors for a long time. So he was my original coach. He coached me all through my competitive career, and then I still go and, you know, hang out a little bit with him, maybe like once or twice a month. I'm gone a lot now, so it's hard to stay completely connected with him. But yeah, so I was really fortunate to have Lou at a young age expose me to the sport, and then kind of grow me through it.
All right, so growing through it, and fast forward,
we hit your
credentials, you know, a few minutes ago. Why do you think you were? What do you attribute your success to in the sport? Coach and as athlete and as coach?
I would say as athlete, I mean, you know, everybody is genetically predisposed for certain things. Okay. So like when I was 12 and I went to the gym, I think the first time I squatted when I was 12, I squatted like 100 kilos for a back squat. So I think I did like 225 when I went there. And the coach was like, oh, okay, like this is a good thing. Like you should probably stick
again,
to that.
Something I mentioned when we were off camera, both of you suck.
Yeah, right. So like that was just something. It was, I don't know, I was, when I was little, I had thicker legs and they were just developed. My uncle played college football, my cousin. Okay. So like people in my family were fairly athletic. So if I wasn't good at something, that was probably a bad thing. So I think that helped, having a coach that was an elite athlete. And then was also an elite coach for so long. He established like standards and criteria that mm-hmm. were just expected. So if I was going to keep lifting with him, it was just assumed that I better be qualifying for nationals with the intent to be medaling at nationals, which I ended up doing, and then with the intent to make international team, mm-hmm. Which I ended up doing. So it was, I think, a combination of expectations, okay. External and internal. I hate doing something and not being good at it.
Okay.
So I'll joke with some of my CrossFit athletes. I'm like, oh, did you do that workout? And I'm like, no, well, why not? I'm like, because I would not be good at that. And it drives me crazy.
Okay.
I'm like, but at this point in my life, I'm not going to train, you know, hard enough in CrossFit to maybe improve on it. So I've always, when I do something, I commit to it
okay.
wholeheartedly. I want to be the best possible place that I can be within that. And then, like I said, the external expectations,
okay.
My family, when I do something, they expect me to be good at it.
Okay.
So, like, I didn't want to let down family, things like
that. How do you manage then? Because you're kind of multiplying it by two. You get said internal and external. How are you able to manage that and cope with it? Because a lot of people kind of fold under the pressure.
I don't know. I think.
Like, you seem very laid back.
I've been told, I've had friends that have told me I'm laid back to the point of maybe apathetic. I don't ever want to come off as that. But I like pressure in that sense. Like, okay. I don't ever want to let somebody down. So I feel like I just fed off a lot of those things.
Okay.
I don't know. Some of it, maybe, like, everybody, you talk to different athletes, they all have a chip on their shoulder mm-hmm. from something. Like, Sean and I'll joke, and since you did Sean earlier, I'll use him every once in a while. Like, I'll say, oh, I probably did that because, like, my dad left when I was really young. So, like, my father left our family when I was, like, 13, 14. Mm-hmm. So I didn't have that. And Sean will be like, oh, I think I struggled because mine stayed. Like, we'll make jokes like that. Maybe there were some, like, you know, internal chips where mm-hmm. like, I'm like, well, I'm going to show, you know, that I can do this, you know, in spite of,
okay.
you know, maybe not having a good father figure, or in that sense, maybe like Lou that started me mm-hmm. as a coach, like I viewed him a little bit like that. Since I didn't have a dad at home, I didn't want to let down somebody that kind of came off to me
okay.
as a good father figure. So like the internal, external, I think for me, they were good. I think I thrived off of them.
Gotcha.
I think it's just all a matter of resources and then how you take the attention you're given, I guess.
Okay. So let's get into it. I don't know if there's a good segue from that. I apologize.
No, that's fine.
But again, based on your credentials, we're talking to you for because of your, you know, expertise in Olympic weightlifting, mm-hmm. both as, again, athlete and coach.
Yeah.
There's a, I don't know if it's a famous quote. I think it's, I don't know if Glenn Penley, I don't know if you can attribute it to him, but it's
okay. We'll see.
Yeah, I'll double check.
Yeah, but I've known Glenn since I started.
It's Olympic weightlifting is the display of strength at high speeds.
Yeah, I think so. Or we'll say it's like, you know, it's like gymnastics with a barbell, or it's, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Like it's yeah, I think I would define Olympic weightlifting as a extreme display of athleticism and
okay.
skill, and. I don't know where we're really going with it, but yeah, that's
okay.
I mean that's something that always intrigued me with
okay.
the sport. I think that's why I stuck with it, because
okay.
I did play football through high school. I was really, really into football.
Okay.
But I liked the individual challenge of weightlifting, and
okay.
and I still like that even as a coach.
Gotcha.
Like being able to work with individuals for them to maybe realize some of the potentials they didn't realize they have, mm-hmm. and then actualize on those as well.
Okay. So where we're trying to go with that
okay.
is the interplay of speed and strength in Olympic weightlifting and developing that.
Yeah.
And which one is more important than the other? And I want to throw in technique there.
Yeah. So I'm going to say the most important thing with any skill that you're performing,
okay.
doesn't matter if it's powerlifting, if it's strongman, if it's gymnastics, if it is technique.
Okay.
If you don't have technique, it doesn't matter how explosive you are. It
okay.
doesn't matter how strong you are. You're putting yourself at a disadvantage.
Okay.
So your goal should always be to increase your max potential. Like
okay.
we all have a potential to do something the way we do and the way we move. So
okay.
so our technical aspect
uh-huh.
of it is what allows us to maximize on it. So that's why
okay.
there's some incredible athletes that never really reach the point that they should. So
okay.
like maybe in weightlifting, you've mm-hmm. got this guy that has a 40-inch vertical and a, you know, 10, 11-foot broad jump, and he can squat, you know, everything, and
mm-hmm.
he can deadlift everything, and he can't even snatch his body weight. That's usually, from my experience, an athlete that hasn't had the opportunity to put in time to work the technique, or doesn't
okay.
have the patience to find the technique, and they're always thinking the answer is something different.
Okay. I'm going to try to play devil's advocate.
Okay, this is good.
I'm going to lose this argument. No, I have a pretty good feeling.
I mean, I like this on most people that I, you know, I don't think I'm always right, but I'm usually pretty right.
You have let's just say you have a lot more experience in this field than I do.
I have a lot of experience doing things the wrong way too. Okay. So I do like to, like, just if we rewind a little bit, some coaches will say that, oh, you can't have been a good athlete and a good coach. That just doesn't work.
Okay.
A lot of times. Like, I've run across that. One of my closest friends in the sport, who's also a coach now, is Chad Vaughn. Mm-hmm. And we say that all the time. Like, there are probably more good coaches that weren't great athletes. But we think that it's really unique when you find a coach that was also an elite level athlete. So I think I was afforded that opportunity with my first coach, Lou, and then the other coach that I did use a lot as I started to be more at the, like, high end of a national level and making international teams was Zygmunt Smolczers, okay. who was our national team coach. He was also an Olympic medalist from Poland, and he was an incredible coach. But he had a good perspective of how to apply things from being an athlete as well as being a coach.
Very cool. Shout out to Poland.
We love Polska. So,
I'll take the credit there for that one.
There we go. Devil's advocate.
I guess I'm not surprised because we have previous guests that have been Olympic weightlifting coaches, Olympic weightlifting athletes, that have a similar train of thought in terms of technique. Why can't we build strength in the certain positions in the movements, in the lifts, and then put them together?
We can.
Okay.
I think that's an application of technique.
Okay.
So, like, when I teach somebody, I like to see how they move initially.
Okay.
So generally my first like protocol is, how does somebody squat?
Okay.
So not necessarily, like, if maybe you don't have the world's prettiest air squat, that's not completely going to deter you from how you squat with the barbell or the weight, but that's a good indicator at first of if you have an understanding of how your body moves.
Okay.
But like for specifically for weightlifting, I like to see somebody back squat.
Okay.
I can usually, I feel like I can tell a lot just from seeing somebody back squat. And a lot of times fixing how somebody back squats automatically improves their snatch and their clean and jerk just from something like that. And that's getting more strength. But to me, that strength is a technique. So, like, how you're squatting, how you understand how you're squatting, and that actualization of the movement is tenfold into how you snatch and how you clean and jerk and how you apply your speed and your power.
Okay.
So, if you're thinking in training purposes of, like, oh, if I get this position strong and this position strong and this position strong, then I should be faster and stronger and more able, which you will, if you understand why you're doing it and then you apply it well.
In your opinion, based on your experience, again, as athlete and coach.
Yeah.
Do you think it's more difficult than to develop technique or to increase strength with
good technique? I think it is easier to develop good technique if you're strong.
Okay.
Because that usually affords you a little bit of leeway.
Uh-huh.
But in the same sense, if you're excessively strong, sometimes you can't tap into the technique that
that's
you need.
Needed.
So we'll get I'll get a lot, and the team BSS is a good example of a lot of, Sean is constantly, when he has athletes that want to be better CrossFitters or they want to, like, get involved a little bit in weightlifting, he's like, well, you should work with Mike. Like, he's like, I'm going to get you really strong, but I have no clue, like, when it comes to refining your snatch technique or your clean technique. And some of those athletes will come and work with me, and it usually works out pretty well. Some are resilient. And they're like, I don't really need to do that. But they'll come over and they'll be very strong. And a lot of times the first thing they'll say when we start working is, well, this isn't heavy enough. I can't move this weight well.
Okay.
It's too light. When we get to the heavier weights, then you'll see what I'm talking about. And my answer is usually, well, then you're not showing me that you have any mastery of the skill that we're performing.
Okay.
So, like, if you can't hold good positions with an empty barbell in the snatch, and you can't show me, you know, where you should be with that empty barbell and those, like, submaximal weights, then you're kind of just, like, rolling the dice every time you do something and hoping it works out okay, not understanding and applying and making it work out okay.
Okay. So I'm not making an argument.
Are we battling a little back
no,
and forth?
No, no.
Semantics?
I think so. And it's definitely my fault. So when you do work with, let's say, stronger athletes that should be, let's say, be able to perform the snatch or the clean and jerk at a certain weight given their ability to squat and whatnot, but yet they're not technically proficient.
Right.
How do you break them down then to to remove that load, remove that intensity, so then they can. You basically have to remold them.
It's like psychological warfare. It's like trust and patience. That's usually what it is. Everybody wants something to happen fast. We're just, we're a society of instant gratification.
Exactly, yeah.
And it's hard with weightlifting. Now, too, with like the world of social media, I can see everybody doing all these great things, and I want to do them. But what I don't see is all the hours that go in prior to that.
Okay.
So like I'll tell a lot of people, somebody, this example, somebody that's pretty strong that needs some refinement in their movement. Like you're coming to me and you want to work for a couple hours and fix everything. And we're trying to fix something that a professional weightlifter would start at age 12 and then would be taking the rest of their career to master.
Okay.
So if you use me like an athletic example, I started when I was 12. I didn't compete for the first time until I was 15 because my coach said there was no, like, why am I going to have you compete if you haven't somewhat mastered the movements yet? So that was 3 years of me practicing the movements. That's hard to convince. Like, no, you're going to practice for 3 years and then we'll test everything out. Like, that's not going to happen. But that amount of time, you have to kind of rationalize in your head, like, this is going to take some commitment. So my mind is, if you want to improve and you have all the strength numbers, then your strength's not going to go anywhere. Like, you can get stronger doing everything else, and then you have to be confident and patient learning the technique at lighter loads.
Okay. So strength is losing right now.
Strength is it's not losing. It's just like I tell, and for just a normal mover, so like a normal gym member that's wanting to improve their snatch and improve their clean and jerk, they're so much stronger than they need to be to lift the weights they probably want to lift.
Okay.
So like the common question is always like, oh, how do I get under the bar faster?
Yeah.
Like, okay, the person that usually asks me that, say they're wanting to snatch 135 pounds and they want to get under it faster. Most of those people can deadlift 300 pounds.
Yeah.
You're plenty strong and you'll move plenty fast when you know how to move. So stop thinking about moving fast. Like, let's just focus on all the positions you need to be in and let all those things happen.
Okay.
So like, you don't have to snatch heavy to train the snatch. You don't have to snatch and clean and jerk heavy to train the snatch and the clean and jerk. Your strength is there from other movements. We have to refine the movement patterns, the techniques of them.
All right. I think you kind of segue into the second half of the podcast, but no, it's because I'm thinking about myself personally, and I can deadlift a decent amount of weight. I can squat a decent amount of weight. And today's workout, I did 17.3.
Yeah.
And
I've got good 17.3 stories already. I've been getting texts all morning. So
yeah, but once obviously there's a matter of intensity, and you're doing it in a wad, and so it's a little different. But you know, that bar, you know, the snatch, because it is an entirely different movement. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously your grip's much wider. It's that 135, 185 feels like a ton.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even though,
and I tell everybody that the better you get, it's only going to feel heavier. It's never going to feel lighter. Like when you snatch 185 and then your goal is to snatch 225, 225 is going to feel heavier.
Okay.
You just get more able to push through it. So a lot of it, you know, in that sense is mental.
Yeah.
But
one last question before we take a break.
Yeah.
So I mentioned technique, strength, and last piece is speed.
Mm-hmm.
What role does speed play, or is that developed through strength?
Yeah. So my answer to that always is speed is a reaction.
Okay.
So like if I was a sprinter and I was working with a coach and I just did a 100 meter sprint, I wouldn't come back and my coach wouldn't say, you know what, you need to run that one faster. You need to sprint faster. Like, what would that tell me? Like, okay, great. But a lot of times we fall into that cue on a snatch. What did I do? You got to get under faster. You didn't get, well, what does that actually tell you as an athlete? You need to get under faster. It tells me nothing.
Yeah.
So speed comes from good cues.
Okay.
That you're able to apply when you have good technique.
Yeah.
So the speed in a lift should be a reaction of everything else happening right. So that's from your timing. And timing comes from repetition.
Okay.
And repetition comes from the type of programming you're doing, and then the consistency with which you're doing it, and then the patience you have and the fortitude you have to stick with all of these things.
All right, perfect.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I'm gonna hope to hang in the second half as we get into a little bit more detail and just snatching the cleaner. Cool. We'll be right back with Mike just a second.
All right.
Hey everyone, just a short break for a few quick PSAs. A, sign up for our newsletter. Why do you want to do that? A, you get a quick early heads up on our interviews and blog posts, but more importantly, you can score some free awesome gear from our partners, Wad Nation and Rogue Fitness. B, make sure to leave us feedback, either on iTunes, Stitcher, or YouTube. wherever you're watching or listening, we can't improve if you don't give us feedback. See, if you can't wait till the next episode on Monday and you need that daily fix of Uncharted Performance, follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Uncharted Performance and on Twitter at Reach Uncharted. And last but not least, if you want to score some free swag from Uncharted Performance, like this awesome tee that I'm wearing right now, if you're listening on iTunes or Stitcher, you probably can't see it, but it's Lift Today Like It Was Your Last, Marcus Aurelius, famous quote. Head over to our Patreon community and check us out there as well. Thank you guys for checking out this episode and enjoy the second half. See you.
Perfect. We have Mike. We are back with Mike Service at Team BSS Fitness.
Yes, sir.
In beautiful Boardman, Ohio. Having a wonderful time. I think I'm actually having too good of a time, I would say. We're going to kind of go off. Usually I have a plan. It gets kind of, you know, you get punched in the face like I just did in the first half by Mike, metaphorically speaking. But let's go back to, I guess your pet peeve with coaching speed.
Yeah, you hit my trigger word.
Yeah, speed. So let's follow that along. And the cue I brought up, and we kind of rolled with it during the break, was, you know, fast elbows.
Yeah.
So, what does that mean?
Right? Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, Paul was asking, he's like, yeah, no. Like, if I say fast elbows, like, that's, you know, what is that? That's good, right? Like, my thought on those things is, like, if I'm trying to accomplish something, then what I'm telling myself or what I'm telling an athlete, like, it should be telling them to do something. So, like, the kind of the analogy I used was, like, if I'm a sprint coach and my sprinter runs his 100 meter and he comes back and he's looking for feedback and I go, you need to run that one faster. You didn't run fast enough. Like, I didn't actually give him anything.
That he can apply, yeah.
He can't apply that, like, okay, cool. Like, okay, so I run faster. Like, do I need to change how my arms are moving? Do I need to pick my feet up more? Do I need to lean forward? Like, there's so many things you can tell that can elicit a good reaction. So, like, fast elbows, that's a reaction that should happen because of something.
Because
so, like,
of a movement.
Yeah, so what I was talking about is, like, if I want my elbows to speed up, if I reposition my elbows during the pull or my shoulders so that I finish and go under in a better position, my elbows can turn around a lot better. But a lot of times you tell somebody, like, fast elbows, they're like, all right, fast elbows. And then, like, they pull back really hard and all of a sudden their elbows go even slower. And as coaches, we always make mistakes when we're cueing or we're coaching or we're programming. And some stuff is trial and error, but on the specific topic of speed, my answer to that is always that speed is a reaction.
Okay.
So your speed in any part of the lift should be a reaction of doing everything else well. And whatever you're not doing well, which that's part of, you know, identifying weak positions and maybe thoughts and self cues and stuff like that. Like, we have to identify where we can fix that to then get the reaction to be speed and more of it. Because we do ultimately want to be, like, I mean, weightlifting is a speed sport. Mm-hmm. It's good for fast twitch, you know, individuals, and it does improve explosiveness, but it can't be forced.
Okay.
So that's kind of...
Gotcha.
My speed stigma. Like,
and the other thing we touched upon is I guess the training, and not necessarily training at the weight that you actually be lifting.
Yes.
For various reasons.
Yeah.
Can you align the audience as you align me during the break?
We kind of got in that conversation too, and I probably run into that more so is and I tell everybody they have false maxes maybe. So some people they have a max and it's nowhere near what their max really is. They're just scared. That happens to sometimes more newer level athletes, especially in CrossFit. But then you get the athletes. I'm the guy that I went to whatever competition and they had a snatch ladder and I pulled a 225 snatch out my rear. Like, it was just, I had all this adrenaline going and everybody was like, and I was pumped. And before that, I'd only ever snatched 185. And at this competition, I did 225. So now I come back to the gym on Monday. I snatched 225. That's my number. Like, and I try to base everything off of that. And it's not a realistic number. Like, what number am I able to repeatedly lift with good technique? Mm-hmm. That might be 135, and that's completely fine.
Yeah.
That's the weight that I need to work at. And then my whole goal in training is to improve that working weight.
Okay.
So, training is investing. Mm-hmm. Like, you want to be a good investor. That way, when it's time to withdraw, you have something to withdraw. Yeah. If you're a poor investor and you're always working at these weights that are frustrating and you can't do them, or they're working in bad movement patterns, then you're not going to have anything to withdraw, or it's going to be a gamble. Like you're just hoping that something good's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's not predictable. It's not like, all right, this training cycle, I've been snatching 155 and I've been hitting it 10 out of 10 times. Like I always make it. I'm okay. guaranteed I'm going to make that. Last training cycle, I was only doing that with 135. So that's marked improvement. And I know that if, as long as I do everything that I've been doing, when I put more weight on the bar, it's going to hold. Like it's going to happen.
So are you more concerned then with technical failure and mm-hmm. training sessions? And
absolutely.
That's how you basically
weightlifting is such a timing and tempo and confidence mm-hmm. sport to me. And there are some people that can go heavy a lot, but those are usually people that have a mastery of technique.
Okay.
So their technique's not necessarily breaking down. Maybe they're just finding relative maxes for their sessions or for okay. their days. But most people that are performing the lifts now, especially in CrossFit, are not masters of the movement.
The moment, yeah.
They're not even like pre-mastery. like I'll tell everybody, like what you're as a weightlifter, like when did you snatch first? Well, I started CrossFit, 3 years ago. I'm like, okay, so you're a 3-year-old weightlifter. Like if you started when you should have, when you were about 12 or 13, you're like 15 or 16 now. So like, you need to still put in all the work that you should be putting in there. So you need to be strengthening, all your connective tissues and your support muscles and all these groups of and components that are going to make you be able to reach your max potential. Mm-hmm. And that's ultimately what our goal is to do there.
So let's take that 135 on that 155 mm-hmm. example. And let's say I'm hitting that for technical proficiency. Mm-hmm. It's a perfect lift at 135, 10 times.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next weight that you think I can hit then?
140.
So you're not jumping up.
Why be greedy? There's another if you're listening and you're thinking about when you're doing your workout and you're like, oh, all right, my coach gave me if I'm snatching, do 3 singles at 135, 3 singles at 145, 3 singles at 155, and my max is 165. And I just hit all those great. So you know what? I'm going to try 170. Well, like why? Like you just hit 155 perfect. If you want to be greedy, do 160. If that feels perfect, do 165. If that feels perfect, do 170. Like a lot of times it's just that anxious need to feel more weight or try something okay. or do something. Like don't, like make it because you know you're going to make it, or gotcha. Test it at a competition when it should be tested, or on a test day when it should be tested. Like use your training for training.
But if you're doing it with technical proficiency mm-hmm. in the gym and training, you should be able to hit that weight confidently.
Yeah, confidently and repeatably. Yeah. Like if you can't repeat something with confidence, then you're not even approaching mastery yeah. of it. And for skills, it should be mastered.
Yeah. I'm just trying to be redundant as I say technical.
No, it is.
No, and, just and, for the listeners.
Yeah, absolutely. And we can, we can apply yeah. that to any movement. It's like, maybe like bar muscle-ups came up in the open and a lot of people got their first bar muscle-up. That's great. But you know what's going to happen now is a lot of those people are going to go back to the gym and they're just going to try and do bar muscle-ups all the time.
Exactly.
And they're going to hurt their shoulder or yeah. they're going to mess up so many things. They're not really ready to be doing bar muscle-ups. They need to now rewind. All right, what was hard about the bar muscle-up? Ah, I can't even do a chest-to-bar. Okay, I need to practice those first. Yeah. Or like, well, when I turned over, I could barely lock out from the dip. Oh, I need to be training dips. Like, yeah. like identifying your weaknesses and the things that are holding back your potential and then strengthening those up.
Okay, so let's go with that. Mm-hmm. And so let's assume that we have the basically the 45-pound barbell.
Mm-hmm.
I'm technically proficient in the snatch and the clean yeah. and jerk, right? And I'm moving up in loads as I'm maintaining my technical proficiency. Mm-hmm. So it's I'm not failing, I'm not missing, but I can continue improving. Yeah. So technique is spot on.
Yeah.
All right. So now, how do I develop strength?
So now we find what is the weakest part of your technique.
Okay.
So when you're good examples are like, when you're lifting from the floor, are you a pusher or are you a puller? So you should be both. You should be pushing and pulling when you lift. So like from the floor, that's a good identification of if somebody's butt shoots up a lot,
mm-hmm.
they're probably have a weaker, honestly, a lot of times they'll have a weaker back and they're just shooting up into that position because they can't okay. maintain the rigid like nature of their back. Or, maybe they have weaker legs and they go out of a line from there. But as a coach or as an athlete, if you're working like on yourself, uh-huh. is you identify these areas of weakness at your more maximal loads and then you address them.
Okay.
So, I don't know, I guess a good application or example uh-huh. would be, if you can snatch 135 pounds, how much can you snatch from the high hang?
Okay.
If it's only 80 pounds, then that's way too far off and you need to improve that position.
Okay.
So by improving that position, you'll ultimately improve your full snatch. Or say you can snatch 135 from the floor and then you can snatch 135 from the hip too. Great. that position's good.
Okay.
But now you go to like a lower hang position, and all of a sudden that one doesn't line up.
Okay.
Then that's a position you could work on. Okay. If you're at like, if you're a more elite or advanced CrossFitter or weightlifter, mm-hmm. and say you're, you know, you're just breaking down just because of strength, then maybe at that point, that's when you need to work some like extreme accessory pieces. So maybe you're going to do heavier good mornings, or you're going to throw in some like sled drags, or you're going to slow in some positional deadlifts and things okay. like that. So you start to identify areas of weakness.
Yeah. So here's my, I guess, my issue with class or mm-hmm. classes.
Okay.
Is that when we come to class or when we're coaching class, yeah. we have the same kind of programming for all the athletes, mm-hmm. right? So they're not necessarily doing the movements
consistently
or doing the movements that they're weak in.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
Right. So let's say, you know, to your point, you know, if somebody's a puller versus a pusher, or, you know, we're weak from the hang. Mm-hmm. So why would we have that person do?
So they shouldn't be. Okay. So that's where, so like, that's when you're looking at like a general gym
yeah.
player, that's where it is. It's difficult, mm-hmm. to run a really good CrossFit gym or general okay. fitness gym that has, diverse membership.
Yeah.
So that's where, like, on a coaching level, hopefully you've been exposed to enough things that if you're working on a specific skill, you understand, all right, this person has this, they don't need to be doing this, they need to do something else.
Okay.
And then you give an individual assignment.
Gotcha.
That's still applicable, or it's still like, yeah. you know, takes the same amount of time to work on. Or that's where, you know, a lot of the people that I work with remotely mm-hmm. or, you know, individually is, they love their gym programming. They do all that, but they want more. So okay. that's where you just, as an individual, you're like, okay, I'm at where I'm at, and that's cool, but I want to improve on
what
something.
What do I want to get out of this?
Yeah. So like, maybe like, if there's somebody that doesn't care about weightlifting, then they don't need to be doing a lot of extra weightlifting part. Like, that's fine. Everybody in the world doesn't need to snatch. Everybody in the world doesn't need to clean and jerk, and that's completely fine. But if somebody wants to, then that's kind of a personal thing too. They have to kind of seek out where good information is, where a good coach is, which one of their gym coaches really likes that component, and then maybe pick their brain and work from there.
Can we develop technique and strength simultaneously?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah. I think like I said, I think they go hand in hand. Mm-hmm. Like, if you have good technique, then as you get stronger, your good technique rises.
Okay.
The problem is if it's strength without technique. So it's like, if, you know, like as great of a deadlifter as Sean is, the way that he deadlifts is not technically proficient for the way that he would clean.
Okay.
So they're not going to be like, they're not going to be a direct correlation. Mm-hmm. And he's fine with that, because that's not part of his, that's like not a goal for him. He doesn't need to be a 400 pound clean and jerker. He wants to be a 1,000 pound deadlifter. But if he wanted to, like, for instance, if a goal on his list was to improve his clean, then he would have to eat like some humble pie for a little bit and rewind his deadlift and change the technique of it. So like, I think technique rises with strength when they're comparable.
Okay.
And when they're used with like the same intent.
Okay. And when we're training or coaching individuals that are technically proficient in mm-hmm. the movement, What percentages, and that's an assumption that you work off of percentages.
Yeah, I'm more like Sean.
Okay. So that's why I was a little hesitant.
So yeah, like percentages are they're like handcuffs.
Okay.
I think they can hold some people back, and then I think they can also like psychologically really mess with somebody.
Okay.
Because 90% is not a 90% feel all the time.
Yeah.
So when I'm not with somebody like one-on-one, and I'm just prescribing them or programming for them, like say a remote client, I usually give ranges to work at, or something will be open-ended. So like today, I have an understanding of what they're capable of. So I know, like, even if they feel awful, they should be able to hit this with good technique. If they're feeling great, they're probably going to be able to push to this. Sometimes it's easy as putting a plus sign at the end of like, all right, you have, you know, you're supposed to do 6 singles in the snatch at 185, but it might be 185 by 1 rep by 6, and then a little plus at the end. Like, if you feel great after 5, then push it a little bit more. But I always like to put a range. It just gives some leeway for if you're not feeling good, you don't feel guilty that like, oh, I couldn't even hit 90% today. My coach gave me 90% for 3 singles. Like, I missed it 8 times. You shouldn't have missed it at all. It was a 90% lift. You shouldn't have missed it. So work at that percent that you're not going to miss.
Okay.
In the same sense, like, some stuff is just a lot like the classes that I teach when I travel around to different gyms, everything's by feel.
Okay.
So it's like, all right, today we're clean and jerking. You've got, you know, 3 sets of 3, 3 sets of 2, 3 sets of 1. They're by feel. If you feel great today, go heavy. If you don't, then get all the work in and accumulate some really good repetitions at weight that feels comfortable for the day.
Gotcha. If there's a, I know it's going to be a loaded question.
That's fine.
Because again, it's everybody's different. It's already, but if for you,
yeah,
in your past experience, what, and let's take both the snatch and the clean and jerk. What were the exercises or the variations of the exercises that paid off the biggest dividends in developing your strength in those movements, in those lifts?
They did vary over time.
Their career.
I mean, for me, the squat was always a good indicator.
Okay.
My efficiency level from my lifts to my squat probably wasn't extremely high, but I could kind of guesstimate what I was going to be able to do based off of what my squat cycles were.
Okay.
So like some weightlifters always like to give like a rule of thumb. If you can front squat it 3 times, you should be able to clean it.
Okay.
So like if that works, so like if you tested that and you're like, all right, my 3 rep front squat max is 225 and I cleaned, 205. Mm-hmm. All right. But the next time I tested out, I front squatted, 235 for 3, and then I cleaned 215. Like, that's a good indicator of kind of what your separation is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So for specific training cycles, for me, I would usually identify something like that.
Okay.
A lot of times mine was actually more like in raw strength. So like if my push press went up, my jerk almost always went up and my snatch usually went up. I had a good lockout, but it was a result of my elbows don't hyperextend, but their lockouts are really good. But my pressing is pretty weak. So unless I would catch something perfect, it would come back down. So like when my snatch grip push press would go up, my snatch always went up. Like the first time I ever snatched over 300 was the same training cycle that I snatch push pressed over 300.
Okay.
Like they were the same. So I knew if that snatch push press went up, my snatch was usually going to follow.
Gotcha.
Same thing with like deadlifts. My snatch grip deadlift for like 5 reps and 10 reps was always a good indicator of just like my I don't want to say muscular endurance, but like that always attributed to me being able to hold better form at higher percentages of lifts, things like that.
So the variation of the exercise was specific to the lift.
Mm-hmm.
So
the variations of these exercises that would apply to me personally.
Okay.
And it was, a lot of it was trial and error. It'd be like, say I was going to have like an 8-week training block.
Mm-hmm.
The first week or two might be a little bit of experimentation of like what's feeling good on my body, what am I getting really sore from. Like to me, soreness is a good indicator in weightlifting. Like it means you have a new stress coming in, and then usually stress builds progress,
adaptation,
and strength,
yeah,
and adaptation. So if you're not getting sore, you're just hurting. Like there's sore and there's hurt. I don't want people to hurt. I want people to be sore. Like sore is good. And then like on the coaching side of things now, that's usually what I'm constantly doing. I always say everybody's like a little bit of a Rubik's Cube, and I'm constantly trying to move it around to get the most colors lined up. Like I'm never going to get all of them, but at certain times I'm going to get a lot of them together.
Okay.
And then the more comfortable I get with somebody, the easier it is for me to prescribe things. Like, okay, I know, athlete A responds really, really well to eccentric and concentric, movements and like tempo variations of things. They do great with that. I know this person, does awesome when monitored. They do a lot more heavy singles, within reason, and things like that. Just being aware of the differences of every athlete. Like, not everybody's the same.
Keeping the finger on the pulse, in a sense.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And it's difficult with weightlifting because, like numbers are almost like addicting.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, but like, no, I can snatch 275.
Because
like,
that's
your indicator.
Exactly.
And mine is so much of like, I might get more excited when I see an athlete snatch 80% and it just looks beautiful. I'm like, no, that's it. When we can do 10 more of those, that PR is going to go through the roof. Like, don't even worry about it.
No. And more recently, as I've gotten back to more Olympic weightlifting myself, it's, I've literally went back to the basics.
Yeah.
Kind of a general theme of the past 2 episodes.
Uh-huh.
But I've literally started with just the bar.
Yeah.
Making sure I'm hitting my positions correctly.
Mm-hmm.
On that technical proficiency,
mm-hmm.
and I know I can snatch more weight,
right?
But if it's I'm like just
if you're just heaving on it,
yeah,
or you're not like, that's the thing is you can tell so much about yourself and of an athlete, like if you slow something down or you stop something in a position, or like are you able to control that? Are you able to command yourself to do certain things? Dave Durante that I work with at Power Monkey, he's elite at everything, but handstands is like his love.
Yeah.
And one of the cool things he had told me even one time when we were working on some stuff was, he's like, when you're in a handstand, don't come down because you're going to fall. Come down because you're telling yourself to come down. Like, have control okay. of yourself in that. Like, when I'm walking and I want to sit down, I sit down.
Yeah.
I don't sit down because I just fell because I'm like, I'm exhausted. And that's like, I apply that in my mind to some of the lifts too. Like, go into a position and pause in a position and lift from that position because you can, and because you have mastery of that position, and you have okay. the strength to acquire that position.
Perfect. There's one more piece.
All right.
Last piece is, and it's, I think it's the mental game.
Okay.
Right. So let's say we have the strength mm-hmm. and we have the technical proficiency and the speed.
We've got it all.
We've got it all, right? But sometimes you still miss.
Absolutely.
How do you mentally prepare yourself for a heavier weight? Getting under a heavy load.
So I always joke, like, I for whatever reason, when I was competing, the word that always clicked with me would be just like, I would just tell myself to be deliberate. Okay. And so, like, I think, you know, Sean was talking about, like, just saving all that energy for the lift. So, like, becoming pretty calm before he's getting ready to pull. It would be kind of the same thing for me, okay. for heavy lifts. Like, I just want to be relaxed. And I want everything in my mind to happen perfect. And then I execute. So whatever I've learned from my past training cycles, I'll try to apply. There might be one or two cues that I've thought of. Chad Vaughn that I coach with and have grown up in the sport with, he tells everybody to have three things to focus on.
Okay.
Focus on something from the start, focus on something in the middle, and focus on a finish. And that seems to help a lot of people because it simplifies your thoughts and it dials you in.
Okay.
Too often we're either thinking about everything or nothing.
Yeah.
And that's kind of find the happy medium. Yeah. Don't think of everything.
Because there's a lot to think about.
Definitely don't think about nothing. Yeah. Understand yourself as an athlete, or if you're a coach, understand your athlete and what do they need to focus on to really make that lift. There's never one specific thing,
okay.
but there is a couple specific things for specific people.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Let's talk Power Makes Monkey. Sense. Yes, it
All
does.
Right. Good.
Let's finish out with the subject that we kind of started off with.
Yeah.
That's what everybody's waiting for about.
Nobody actually cares about me. They're like, Power Monkey is cool. Like,
nobody actually cares about the weightlifting stuff. They're just like, can they talk about Power Monkey?
Yeah. Mike's the ambassador for Power Monkey in this area. So
yeah, how did you get involved? Because like I said, it's like, seems like the coolest camp.
Power Monkey is the absolute coolest fitness camp there is in the world. And anybody that's come to it will tell you, it doesn't matter if they're a games competitor or like the first day of CrossFit and they just got lucky and signed up to camp and came.
Okay.
But how I got involved with it is so our company has two owners, Dave Durante and Shane Garrity.
Okay.
Shane is a professional stuntman. He works on all these cool movies and all kinds of stuff. He was a former gymnast. Dave was a 2008 Olympic team member. He was a national champion gymnast. He coached at Stanford. He went to Stanford. So they both obviously have these gymnastics backgrounds. Yeah. And they have a really cool – you need to interview them because they have a cool story about how they met. Basically, it has to do with the Victoria's Secret fashion show. So it kind of goes from there. Anyways, okay. they started it was a pre-existing fitness company that made equipment. And they started working with them and then decided to buy the company and then mold it into more of an educational company. So okay. now we're composed of a bunch of coaches. Our goal is to teach. One of our biggest things is like hashtag technique matters.
Okay.
Technique first. Like, we care about technique. We All want right. people to move really well.
I'm going to steal that.
Yeah, we should. It's so our whole thing is you should be able to move with what you want to move within for as long as you can.
Okay.
So like, whatever you're practicing should be making you a better human. Like, not, it shouldn't be breaking you down. It shouldn't be hurting you. You want to be doing it forever. But I met Dave Durante through Chad Vaughn. They had known each other. They're both about the same age. So they had some meetings at the Olympic Training Center when they were both athletes and knew each other. Dave was looking to build a team of elite coaches.
Okay.
And I happened to be at a CrossFit athlete camp with Chad coaching some people in weightlifting. Dave was there to coach for gymnastics. He invited me on board to help out with some of the first camps and coach. And then that just kind of evolved. I tell everybody I have a way of I like weaseling my way into friendships. I'm like, you're going to be my friend. And that's just kind of what happens. So I don't know if it's a little bit of a pushy thing or what, but I loved how Dave worked. I loved how he applied things. I loved what he was wanting to do. So I just, when I was able, I was very willing to help in any way possible. And it's just grown to the point now where I'm in charge of all of our clinics. So whether they be gymnastics, mobility, weightlifting, I coordinate all of those. I coach on the weightlifting side of things. And that's kind of where I'm at with that.
So what can people expect if they sign up?
If they sign up for the camp, they can expect, I don't know, if you ever went to summer camp, it's fitness summer camp for adults. So from like 7 a.m. until about 11 p.m., you're busy. It's all the most elite coaches in all the disciplines. We get elite athletes, we get beginner athletes. It's basically the makeup of a CrossFit gym. So you have every person represented. Mm-hmm. There's the person that's trying to figure out how to do double unders. There's the person that just got their first push up and they're stoked. There's the person that's training for regionals. There's the person that's been to three games. Like we have everybody. It's so diverse. Okay. We have our last three camps, a quarter of the camp were international campers. So like this camp we have coming up the end of April, we have I think 14 people coming from Brazil.
Awesome.
We've had people from Saudi Arabia. We've had people from Russia, from Australia, from Canada, like everywhere. It's just a really cool, like, United Nations of fitness where everybody just kind of rolls in. And we house you. We feed you. We bring in a paleo cook that's there all week long, all the meals. Reebok is one of our partners, and they have all kinds of gear there. We have FitAid is one of our partners. So there's FitAid. There's just anything you could think of. Like, if you want to have, like, a sweet week, this is where you come. The coaches are generally in like some like limbo between like euphoria and exhaustion because they're also amped on all the energy that all the campers bring. But in the same sense, they're trying to coach. Like, a normal day for a coach is like 6 hours of instruction plus open gym times. Okay. And it's 100% access. So like every camper has 100% access to every coach all day long, every day of the camp, which is also pretty sweet. You don't get that a lot.
No. Before we get into how we can sign up and where to follow you.
Right.
One last serious question.
Okay.
I think you know what's coming.
Got it.
What's the one thing that you want to stick out in the viewers or listeners' mind from the last 50 minutes or so?
From the last 50 minutes? Technique matters.
Technique matters.
Technique matters. Keep it simpler. And you know, I tell everybody though, don't do something unless you want to be doing it. Mm-hmm. So you should, like, in the process of what we're doing, especially in the fitness world, you're doing it to better yourself, but you're doing it to find enjoyment. So if you're leaving the gym just completely hating what you're doing, you need to like reevaluate and find some fun in it. So like find the fun within all the movements you're doing. And if you're working with coaches or at a gym, like make sure that gym facilitates that for you. Make sure that coach facilitates that for you. Like, you should be getting out what you're wanting to get out of things. And I've just come across that a lot. Like, people will beat themselves up, and we're doing this to make ourselves feel better.
Yeah.
And like to be better, you know, be able to better help other people because of it. So like that, like, combination, like move really well and be happy moving really well. Like that's really what I would want people to get out of it.
Very cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Where can people find you? Where can people find Power Monkey?
All right. So they can, well, Power Monkey is easy. Power Monkey Fitness. So you just type that in, it'll pop up.
Okay.
So we have our website, powermonkeycamp.com, and then powermonkeyfitness.com is really easy to find there. Then we're same thing on Instagram at Power Monkey Fitness. My Instagram handle is Strength and Faith, or at Mike Service. So a little tie-in with my sport and my faith in Christ. And then also, I guess you can find me pretty much anywhere. I'm always out and about. You'll run into me, whether you're in Ohio, in Pennsylvania, in New York, in California,
all over the world,
Italy, Brazil, wherever you want to go. That's next two spots I'll be. We'll be Milan, Rome, and then just south of Sao Paulo in Belo Horizonte, Brazil.
Very cool. So we're going to link all that up if you want to find out more.
Throw it all in there.
Yeah, we'll throw it all in there again. Sure. If you're on the website, YouTube, it's all below the interview. If you're on iTunes or Stitcher, you probably want to hop over there if you want to find Mike and find out more about Power Monkey.
Absolutely.
Mike, thank you, sir.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you. Thank you for making me feel bad about losing the argument.
No way. Not at all. There's no lost arguments. There's just gained knowledge. Right?
Exactly. Exactly. On that note, guys, thank you very much, Mike. Thank you again.
Thanks.
Sean, thank you. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for checking out the video. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel and also check out our Patreon community by following the links right below me. Also, make sure to check out the related videos to my left, your right. You'll probably dig those as well. Thank you again, and see you next time on Uncharted Performance. Take care.